Go ahead.
Thanks.
Where's that one?
I'm going to call the council meeting to order at 7:01 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
The first order of business this evening is the disposition of the journal for the special council meeting of September 4th, 2018.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
Motion to adopt the minutes of the special council meeting of September 4, 2018.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt the special council meeting minutes of September 4, 2018. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Vicki?
Fellows.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oops. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to start with Hollum.
Okay.
Sorry. Councilman Hollum?
Yes.
Lenz?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Pismo?
Yes.
Pleshnik?
Yes.
Fellows?
Yes.
Fiebig?
Yes.
The special council meeting minutes of September 4th have been adopted. The next order of business this evening is the finance director's report. Mr. Berkachek.
No report tonight.
Are there any questions for the finance director this evening? Thank you, Frank. Seeing none, the next is our city engineer's report. Mr. DeFranco.
Thank you, Madam President. The street resurfacing project for this year is substantially complete. They installed the surface course of asphalt earlier this week. We also submitted the application for Dodd Road resurfacing to the Lake County engineer for submittal to the Ohio Public Works Commission earlier this week. We're continuing to work on the Dodd Slope Stabilization Project. We received a progress design from the consultant, which we are reviewing. And on your agenda today is the Stratford Place Pump Station Project. This would be to install a backup pump in the sanitary manhole at Stratford Place, which is on the city sewer system. The manhole is located in the right-of-way. It is city responsibility. And this backup pump is only really needed during rain events. We have a backwater valve, which stops water from backing into the Stratford Place. And currently, our service department has to pump out the manhole during rain events with a truck. And so they pump out the manhole, bring it downstream, and discharge it. So this would take care of that for them so that our service department wouldn't have to spend equipment and time to do it. So I would recommend approving that. And that completes my report.
Thank you, Pete. Are there any questions for the engineer this evening? Councilman Fiebig.
Good evening, Mr. DeFranco. Have you had a chance to review our street program for next year, which you might project?
Very briefly, I did talk to Street Superintendent Grubas today, and I would like to take a little more look at it. I can get a recommendation to you in a few days.
Thanks. He and I spoke today, and we discussed what roads could be done. We also discussed things like repaving the parking lot of City Hall, which, as we all know, is really deteriorating badly. But we want to see the Dodd Road project to be done. He mentioned approximately $400,000 of our anticipated budget for next year would go towards that. That number seemed just a little bit high, I think, from what I saw.
I think $359 was the city
responsibility. That's what I thought it was. And we do have a few other pieces of equipment to buy, perhaps a third truck for carrying their their tools and their equipment. We'd also need a 48-inch asphalt roller. It's about $45,000. And we did not approve buying a new plow truck yet to replace one of the deteriorating ones. So we do need to get going on that. So I plan to hold a service meeting real soon, probably just after this election, and hopefully we can compile all those requests together and get a look at next year's budget and what those priorities are going to be. So sure. We want to see if we can get at least Dodd Road for sure, and then at least another road possible, maybe two. But this front parking lot is really in bad shape too. So,
and also next year we're scheduled to restripe the streets.
And restriping the streets, about $55,000 that we need to appropriate for that. So, and that's important. We do that every 2 years, so right. That needs to be done next year. Thank you.
Any other questions for the engineer this evening? Thank you, Pete. The next is Council's committee reports. Just 2 points, because I don't believe any members have had committees. And the last planning and zoning meeting of October 18th was canceled. So I don't know if, Councilman Phoebe, you have anything to bring forth on that.
No, Madam President.
No. And then Councilwoman Micah for utilities, if you wanted to come.
Yeah, we had canceled this past Monday's utilities meeting because I was lacking some financial information from the city of Euclid and from the county. So just waiting for people to get back to me, and I'll keep trying to get the information and probably reschedule sometime within the next month.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything to say about their committees?
Madam President, just another committee reports. I would say that to the best of my knowledge, the mayor still has not signed the joint statement and noise abatement agreement with the Cuyahoga County Airport, so I've asked our clerk to send him an email to see if he has touched base with the Airport Noise Abatement Council. Hopefully we can get that done. The resolution authorizing him to sign it was passed some time ago, so hopefully we can proceed on that. And also with respect to the airport, we're still waiting to see when the flyovers will be scheduled by the FAA just to check the flight paths of the new runway. So if you happen to hear a very, very noisy day at the airport, it may be that without telling the city, the FAA has scheduled their flight check. Sometimes they do it without giving advance notice. So don't be alarmed if you hear a lot of additional noise. It probably is just a couple hours worth of testing.
Thank you.
Madam President. Regarding planning and zoning, Mr. DeFranco, if you have more information on this that you could share at this time, we are anticipating that there's going to be an application for a new business that would bring approximately 300 jobs and a substantial payroll, $9, $10 million of payroll. And they're going to, as I understand it, submit an application or work with you to do this. And that would be not at this upcoming meeting, but perhaps one shortly thereafter.
Correct that. I did receive their application earlier this week, so I'm currently reviewing that.
Good. Thank you.
Any other council representative reports? Committee reports? Okay. Thank you. The next order of business is public portion. And this evening, before we actually start public portion for the residents, I have two individual groups of individuals that want to speak. So I'm going to open public portion at 7:09 p.m. And the first is going to be Mr. Rick Warner and Holly Ferkel from the Willoughby Hills Library. And they'd like to come forward to provide some brief remarks on the levy that's on the ballot this evening.
Madam President, Mr. Vice President, members of council, members of the administration, I'm Rick Warner from the Willoughby Slake Public Library, and I'm here with Holly Ferkel, who is a hero or heroine to all of you I know from the Willoughby Hills Public Library, to ask for your consideration for your support of Issue 6, which is a renewal and increase of one of our two levies that will be on the ballot on November 6th. This is our first request for an increase since 2009. We are attempting to continue to work on all of our buildings. If you've had the chance to visit the Willowick or Willoughby Library, you've seen a complete renovation of those two buildings. Even today, we took delivery of new furniture and shelving that's going into the Willoughby Hills Library to improve the Hills Library. We've done this all through good savings that our board has required us to have for the last 5 or 6 years, so we've not had to ask voters for a bond levy, but we do feel like it's a prudent decision to ask for a relatively modest increase in one of our two operating levies in order to make sure that we can get through the next 5 to 10 years with adequate services to Willoughby Hills and the 6 other communities that we serve. So we're very excited about that. I would introduce Holly just to say a few words if she'd like to.
We would appreciate if you would support the levy. It helps us give lots of technology training, computers for people that might not have access, homebound services, children's programs, lots of different activities.
So we're very grateful for your consideration. We'd be happy to answer any questions now or at the end of the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next individual I'd like to, come forth is our former council president, Ray Somich, and our police chief, Chris Collins. As Pete DeFranco mentioned, we do have, no, he didn't. He talked about the substation. Is there other sub, so sub pumps and substations. So, Ray and Chris, if you come over and can share the information that you've been working with on diligently with Mr. Scott Shields to improve the shops of Willoughby Hills area, we'd be grateful.
Thank you very much, Madam President and Council. Good evening. Chief, please join me whenever you'd like to. Yes, we have an opportunity. I think everybody in this room knows, and certainly everyone there on Council knows, that for the 12 years I was on Council, I talked to a lot of people down in that area, business owners, residents, and everybody agrees that safety, at least, is a misperception of a problem. Even if it really isn't a problem, as the Chief will say, there's a lot of people that think that that is a problem in that area. And we now have an opportunity, as everybody here knows, we have a developer that has invested millions of dollars in the property. He has worked very hard to bring in new businesses, a couple of which are already open. The major fitness center with a swimming pool and a gymnasium is in the works. It is going to open there end of the year or early next year. And you just heard about another new business that is being proposed to also come in the old Sam's building. So there's a lot of great positive things happening. So this is a great opportunity because this developer is also willing to give the city free space for a community police substation that Chief Collins is 100% behind. I'll let him tell you that to affirm that. I believe that most, if not all of you are. I know the residents are. I know the existing businesses are. And the reason it's a little more timely to try to ask you to please pass this evening is that we do have businesses that are looking at signing leases. We have some businesses looking at renewing leases, and they are concerned about this factor because whether it's a misperception or a reality, people do think that there is a safety issue there, and to have the presence of a police substation will be great for that area, for the existing businesses, for getting new businesses, for the residents of the area, and I believe also for the police department in terms of rushing up and down Chardon Road and filing the paperwork back here. So with that, I'll turn it over to the chief, but I urge you, please, please, this evening, let's get this moving. Everybody knows about it. The developer, Mr. Scheel, has made every change that the city has asked for or the council has asked for because we want to get this done. It's free rent on the terms that the city is happy with, so please make this happen for all of us. Thank you. Chief.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, I would echo those concerns. I've been the chief here for over 18 years, and we've been trying to have this type of a substation area down there, not only for the safety of the community in that section of town, but also for our officers. As you know, we with the number of officers we have on shift, anytime there's a call for service, we're not sending these officers by themselves. So oftentimes if they're on post here doing paperwork or follow-up work or phone calls or meeting with residents and we have a significant call down in that area, which is expected, as someone mentioned, 5,000 residents and apartments, condensed area, the businesses we have there and the access on and off the freeway, it causes our officers to leave here, travel down Chardon Road,
So, you know, we cover over 12.5 square miles in all the interstate. That gives us a good location in the retail area of the city, as well as access to the freeways and, of course, the high-density population areas that we have there. So we're looking for operational effectiveness, safety for the officers, and our ability to respond quicker and more diligently to those calls for service in that area of the town. Oftentimes, if you look at our statistics, they'll show a high value of calls for service in the East End, but that's mostly traffic stops on the freeway. So when we look at our assaults and burglaries and robberies and domestics and some other things, you'll see the larger percentages in that area of the town. So, again, we're looking for some operational effectiveness. I've supported this for over 18 years. It's certainly something that we can put on the table and try and reevaluate as the program goes forward and look at the effectiveness of that program. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief, and thanks, Ray. Appreciate it. So this time, then, the public portion is open to the residents, so you're welcome to come forward. Please state your name and your address for the record.
My name is Ken Farley. I live at 3046 Rockefeller. And I have a question for the council and the city. Do we belong to NOPEC, which is supposedly a discount on your gas bills and utilities? And because I don't remember seeing that on my bill, and I wanted to make sure that I take advantage of it if we are. But we are part of it. Okay, good. And then basically that's it. Thank you much.
Thank you, Ken.
Aren't you lucky you get to see me twice in one night? Fritz Marinko, 28802 Eddie Road. I'm fully in support of the substation. As the family was a business owner in the city for a number of years, they talked about it for years. And to make this happen now, I think, would be the right thing for all businesses. So I fully support it and sincerely hope you will, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Doris?
Doris Dodge, 37881 Milan Drive. I have a question for the mayor. Why are you not attending these meetings? You have a city in turmoil. You have a city that is being viewed through local news channels. Where are you? You are suing your own city. The least you could do is be here to answer a few questions. Since you are not here, I have no choice but to address the empty chair. Mr. Wieger, I have watched your interviews on TV, and I will quote you. And this is what you said when you removed our council, and this is a quote. They did things that were illegal, and they continued to do those illegal acts. So we had no choice but to release them. I thought, that to make our residents whole and businesses work, well, together we had to release them. I want to know who is we. Are these person or persons employees of Willoughby Hills? The term we was used throughout your interviews in a number of times, so it cannot be considered as a figure of speech. I want to know who is we. In Willoughby Hills, we want to see our mayor and council working together. Mr. Mayor, your presence at these meetings would give some assurance to the residents that you are considering our concerns and want to be part of the solution in moving our city in a positive direction. Please start working with our council. Council is here. They have said that they are willing to work with you. I know that I have expressed my concerns to council. So please, let's work together. And I would feel better seeing you at these meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Doris. And we'll be sure that the mayor gets the transcripts so he has your questions.
Sure. Dave Listoria, 31,000 Eddy Road. I'm glad to hear about this substation because I heard about this a while ago from the mayor. I know it was brought up a while ago. And then last council meeting, Councilman Fiebig brought it up again. And I specifically came here tonight to bring that up. I'm glad it, the chief of police and everybody else brought it up because I'm fully in support of it. I think it's a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Tony?
Tony Miller, 2857 Hayes Drive. Is that right? Sorry. So, not the last speaker, but the speaker before that, again, mentioned that the mayor is suing the city, all right? And that's as far as they go. But tell the rest of the story. Why is the mayor suing the city? Why did the mayor have to bring litigation against the city? He had to bring litigation against the city to straighten out illegal ordinances that were passed by this, by six of these council members. So he's straightening things out that they messed up. So that's the rest of the story. It's always the mayor suing the city, the mayor suing the city, the mayor suing the city, without the rest of the story. The mayor suing the city to straighten out the illegal ordinances that this council passed.
Thank you, Tony. Mr. Walsh.
Chris Walsh, 38801 Chardon Road. My house supports the chief and his department. They're overworked. They need whatever help they get, they ask for, they should get. We also support the council. And it's a broken subject. The mayor's not here, but the mayor's not here. If he cared that much, he'd be here. I see the whole council here except him again. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheryl Lowe, 2960 Markham Boulevard. I just wanted to ask the chief. I understood he and I had a conversation quite a while ago about the police that will be stationed down there at that Lohman's Plaza will not be coming into the neighborhoods. They're mostly for west of Bishop Road. Am I wrong to think that?
There are some. This gives them a place to be paid for. And people probably do their lunches, whatever else they need to do, rather than coming all the way back here too.
Are they coming into our... like, are they coming as far as 91? Will they be on call?
Sure. We cover the whole city. What we're trying to do is give an operational point in that part of town rather than coming all the way back here. You know, a majority of the efforts where we have multiple officers going to one call function down in that part of the city. So you're taking those own cars from here going down there or vice versa coming back here.
Okay.
We cover the entire city with all of our patrol zones. It's just we have certain officers assigned to specific areas as a priority during their shift coverage.
Okay.
But anybody who needs help, if there's a traffic stop on the freeway or domestic on the side of town, we're all going. I mean, there's no call today really where you're going to send one or two officers. We're going as a group based on the severity of the call. So you could have everyone on the shift, if it's a drunk driver or a domestic. We had a domestic last night with a weapon involved. You know, your entire shift plus mutual aid, you can go into that call.
Okay.
So this is going to give them an operational point there rather than bringing everybody in duty here, do other duties that they have to do, paperwork and other things they want, rather than everybody here and then have to go over there.
So there'd be some here and some there, and if there's a call for a bad situation, right, you may all go.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Linda Cover, 2978 Rockefeller. Is there any plans to bring back the 13 workers that were released so that we have some people at City Hall? And who is taking care of the community center across the street? I'd like to know that. And I also very much support this station down there. I've been here since 1967 and have owned and do own four houses in this community. So I want to know, if I come to City Hall and I go over there, is there anybody going to be there?
Mm-hmm. There's three people there.
And what was the need to dismiss 13 union people? Anybody have an answer?
We'll finish public portion and address questions. Linda.
Thank you. And I have one more question. This little thing out where it says Willoughby Hill City Hall, it never has any flowers, it looks terrible. And if you want me, next year I'll be glad to come and plant some. I was going to do it, but I thought I'd get in trouble. But we need something out there. All the other communities put flowers all over. We have nothing. It looks nice across the street, but it doesn't look nice here. And we need painting on the front building.
Jenna.
Jenna Bing, 36951 Beach Hills Drive. I was really hoping the public portion would be after the unfinished business on Whisper. I look forward to hearing more about it instead of just what's in the news. I will say that when I was talking to the mayor, one of the reasons he fired council was for nonfeasance. And I was like, what did they not do? And he said, well, they shut down Whisper to do an audit, and we've not heard anything more. Well, I'm glad that council did the audit, or whatever you all did, and that something has been completed there, because now he doesn't have that reason to say that you all aren't doing your job, because obviously you were doing your job, and following through on what you said was, gosh, I was remembering at that meeting, it's like questions were asked of the administrative assistant at the time, and who's not there now, and that she was not forthcoming with information. And that's not acceptable. I don't think council thought it was acceptable. They're innocent questions. And, you know, like, how does this program work? And who are the volunteers? And how do you vet the volunteers? Because you're dealing with a difficult group when you're dealing with seniors and children. So seniors are a problem. You need to vet. But those answers weren't coming forward. And to me, Mr. Mayor's chair, that's your responsibility, is to be able to make sure that your staff answers questions. Mr. Berkachek answers my finance questions anytime I ask, and he's very intelligent, and he's very much explaining to me how the city finances work, and I think that's great. I try not to take much time of his. I know Mr. DeFranco and his team is out there working hard. They always are so nice when they're on my street doing things, but that's not the case in all of Mayor Uyghur's administration, and that included Gloria, who was his assistant, who I don't know. I know a lot of people do know her and think very highly of her, but I think that was very disrespectful of her, who was the lead on Whisper, to not answer the questions, which sparked shutting it down and having an audit and now putting us once again in the news. And if Channel 8 is listening, because I don't know who's here today, you all showed her, Gloria Majewski, whatever her last name is, mayor's administrative assistant. She's not employed by the city right now. And maybe that's a good thing. Sorry, you know.
Thanks, Jenna.
Linda Fulton, 2990 Markham Boulevard. I wanted to say something about Whisper also. I have taken advantage of Whisper for maybe three times. In the beginning, it was for seniors 55 and older. I was not aware of any stipulations that qualified you for any kind of work, but I did have my gutters cleaned out twice, and I had another small job to do, which I was not able to do physically. I qualified for being a senior, but and it was really nice. And that was probably almost when the program started. And I recall that they were all volunteers, that there was a luncheon that was presented to and gave awards to these people who did the work. It was really nice. My question is, why does Whisper, if it's a volunteer program, why do they need this money? And how much money is in it? What do they use it for? Is there any thing out there for Whisper qualifying people? And again, volunteers, they need to be vetted. I'm with Jenna. That's a very important thing. So if Whisper ever comes back, it's a good program. It was meant to be good. But I think, again, I will use this word, greed. Greed got in the way.
No.
Thank you.
Joan Matuza, 28752 Chardon Road. I moved to the city for the first time in 1955. I've been very active in the city. Have worked for the city. Have accumulated enough time to receive a small pension from the city. I sat on all the boards, and not as a clerk, and was very familiar with what was going on in City Hall. And yes, Whisper started out as a very good program, a good idea, and there were volunteers. But then something happened, and there were no volunteers. But it was being done. It was, I don't know how it was being done, but it was being done. And I used them to rake my leaves. Once a year, we blow our leaves to the middle, and I just had double knee surgery. My husband, of course, I'm 83 because I lived here this long. My husband's 85. We cannot pull those leaves to the street. And so once a year, we blow them all into the piles, and then people come, Whisper, which really isn't Whisper, it was a school, but through Whisper, and they would pull the leaves to the street, and I was very grateful for that. And I never used them. I donated $200 cash check one time, and then I was very surprised to see as a Whisper project and donation listed a working of dismantling a pool and donating money to the Boy Scouts. That is so wrong. Yes, we dismantled our pool in its entirety. We piled it up. And it was not a Whisper event, which Whisper claimed to be. It was the Boy Scouts were going to pick up the metal, the aluminum, which they did. The Boy Scouts' parents and the mayor, when he's interested in the Boy Scouts, came and they picked up all that metal or the aluminum. They turned it in, and we donated it, over hundreds of dollars, to the Boy Scouts. And I was a little bit miffed that Whisper took credit for that. It was nothing to do with Whisper. It was a deal with the Boy Scouts needed the money, and we would, and they had the ability to pick up the, rather than we selling it to a scrap dealer, they had to. But then Whisper puts it on their thing that they, Whisper, donated it. Okay, so I don't feel they did. I feel that I did, and it wasn't even Whisper. So the other thing, but going back to Whisper, WKYC 3 Lake County. I'd like to commend them. I read their Facebook account, and it's an article. Lake County prosecutor recommends criminal investigation of Willoughby Hills Mayor's Senior Program. They printed the program.
without any bias, without any spin, they actually, I was amazed, they actually printed facts. Facts that could be substantiated. And it's under, if you would look up WKYC and look up that thing and look up Willoughby Hill City Council report on Whisper by WKYC, and it's on something called Scribd, S-C-R-I-B-D. Click on that, and you will view the council report of 12 pages of what Whisper has been doing. And I, as an employee here, I can vouch for the fact that there were things on there that I know for a fact were true. I observed them. I discussed them. So it's a basically honest report, and it's all substantiated with attachments, but I didn't know. I don't know if you can pull up the attachments. But on the end note, last year, again, with these knees and an old husband, we needed help. So I knew early we would need help. And I said, early, please, put me on the list for the leaves. And the time would go, and the time would go, and the time would go. And we didn't get any help. I mean, and I'd call and say, hey, you're still on the list. Well, this was at the time of the election, and I don't know. I tried to keep quiet. I think it was known who I supported. And come the snow, the next day the snow fell, I called and I said, is anybody going to be coming for my leaves? And the message was, gee, Joan, feel free to go anywhere you want to get it taken care of. And I had been like called two months before. So I personally feel that was a action by a person because I wasn't supporting her election. And I just think this is truly, truly wrong. It's a good program if it would be managed properly, but it is not. Thank you.
Thanks, Joan. And, of course, I let Joan go over because she had a lot of information to share, and she's been a Whisper recipient
and a resident for
some
years.
So thank you.
I had no intention of speaking, however. I'm Barbara Belich, and I live at 29480 Eddy Road. And the only reason I'm speaking out is because I had the pleasure of working with Gloria Majeski a couple of weeks ago on the 4K program that came out of Lexus and the clinic across the street. And I feel that it would be unfair for me to leave without saying something wonderful about her. She's a good person. She's highly intelligent. And I enjoyed the time that we spent together volunteering. And as far as volunteers go, I think it's important that everybody here knows that there aren't that many volunteers in this world. It looks like it, but there's not. And the minute that you put together a volunteer program, you get very few hands that go up. And I noticed from that thing, too, there was hardly anyone that represented other than myself from St. Noel and Gloria from the city and an Ann from the clinic. It doesn't seem like a whole lot of folks. But anyway, I just want to let it go and leave Gloria hanging that way. It's not fair.
Thank you.
Joan Mazey, 2837 Stark Drive. Glory was the best thing that happened to Willoughby Hills. The Whisper program was great, and I don't know what happened to it, but I love her, and she's the best person anybody can know. She would do anything for anybody. Thank you.
Vicki Miller, 2857 Hayes Drive. I also want to speak to the Whisper program. My parents were highly involved with it at its inception. They have been a recipient of it in their latter years with getting some of the work done. They were also involved in the volunteerism. I do agree that volunteerism has gone down. It's harder to get the volunteers to come out. mainly because I think at the beginning of this program there was a lot of younger senior citizens, which I would consider myself one now at this point, that were able to do that. And these people have now become in their 80s and maybe unable to do the volunteer. But my parents spent a lot of time, you know, giving back to the community. They've also received some help. I do not know a lot of specifics about the Whisper program in itself, but I do see the benefit that it has brought to my family and to my neighborhood. Of 12 houses that are on our street on Hayes Drive, six of them include elderly seniors. On a regular basis, she has helped one of our neighbors down the street who does not have family that is supportive. Many of them do have family that are supporting them. And I do also try to help this neighbor when she comes but for help. But she has spoken very highly of the things that Gloria has done for her, looking out for her, giving her guidance on different things. The Whisper program had been a great part of the community. I'm not sure what happened to it. Volunteerism had dropped off. I know that as well. And at this point, I'm glad to see that there is an investigation of it, although it seems the council members acted hastily. As in the letter from the Lake County prosecutor, to quote it, it says it's in the form of unsubstantiated allegations with literal no specific facts yet. So I kind of feel that maybe this was rushed by them, and I would love to see the results and also get some information. I'll be probably visiting Mr. Berkachek to try to get some details on finances as well. Thank you.
All right. I will close public portion at...
Nancy, I think there was one more.
Yeah, there's one more. There might be two more.
Dale Fellows, 2812 Fowler Drive. Somebody mentioned the rest of the story, so I thought I'd do a rest of the story, too, on a whole bunch of things. Somebody mentioned about working as a team and working together, and I know for a fact that council has tried to do that with the mayor, but it takes both sides. All one has to do is talk to one of the county commissioners who tried and, in my view, was disrespected by the mayor. The mayor sent out a letter recently. I wish he was here to address these. He makes these statements in this letter that, as I mentioned at a previous meeting, would have gotten five Pinocchios from Washington Post, I think. Talks about the mayor's court. Always talks about revenue, and the revenue approach projections were from some years ago, but never talks about the expense side. Never talks about the fact that there were positions appropriated for, and there's even somebody, I guess, in a position that is not actually functioning in the mayor's court. So the mayor's court was not shut down by anybody but the mayor himself, for political reasons, obviously. The newsletter, he states that he was censured. Well, council asked to be part of that. He said, absolutely, we'll let council be part of it, and never did. And then changes start sending it out under the mayor's report, if you will, and with statements that are certainly questionable, as was the letter itself he just sent out. Then he mentions in the letter two council representatives or resignations because of council. I find that intriguing. Since one moved to out of the city, and one just left after two meetings that were fairly inconspicuous meetings, I don't know how you could make that statement. Again, another question for the mayor. And that the building commissioner left because of council, I find that interesting, too. I think this is the same person that told people at a public meeting that somebody's barn was nicer than their homes. So, interesting statement from a building commissioner. And then you had a nominee that really had no qualification, didn't even live in the city, and yet that's what he was nominating for building commissioner. And you wonder why council doesn't approve those. Same thing when it gets to the fire chief. You had that whole debacle where he picks somebody out of a field of 18 very highly qualified folks. Council trusted him, gave him the authority, hired him, and then find out that the gentleman lied three times on his applications. Then he was going to name himself, the mayor was going to name himself the fire chief, which was interesting. And then you talk, I hear a lot of people talk about the law director and the lack of a law director. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand that the mayor in the last two especially wanted had the nominees actually sign a Pledge of Allegiance, or what I would call a Pledge of Allegiance to himself. So I will end there since my time is over. Appreciate it.
Was there someone else besides Dale that wanted to come forward?
Good evening. Lori Feltham, 2605 Timberline Drive, Willoughby Hills. Well, with all the fertilizer and the leaves and the whisper and the this and the that, can anyone enlighten me on the leaf pickup program? Mr. Phoebe?
Well,
anyone?
The mayor did say in one of the last meetings that the program will be in effect. So I would suggest that you contact the road supervisor, Mr. Grubas, but yes, there will be leaves picked up.
Okay.
I can answer that, too, in unfinished business.
Okay, I will close public portion at 7:46 p.m., and thank you, everybody. All right. Next order of business is unfinished business. Mr. Phoebe, did you want to talk about leaves?
I can, because I spoke with Mr. Grubas today, and we prepared three trucks that are ready with the leaf pickup machine and another truck that is ready to pull behind the collector. So there's also three plows that are set up ready for snow if we have a snow event. So we're pretty well in good shape to start with leaves as soon as there's enough of them. And also if there's a snow event, we're ready for that as well, is what he reported to me today. Madam President, can I address another unfinished item out of public portion here?
Yes.
The substation was brought up here today, and I fully support that. We've had several meetings with the safety committee about it, and I've spoken personally with Scott Scheel a few times about it. I've talked to Ray about it, Samich, and so we're all on board with that. I've had the opportunity to review the changes that Mr. Plechnik wrote up and agreed with them that they were good, and thank you for that review. But I also on my own took it to a commercial real estate attorney over the last 2 weeks for a thorough review, because I had a few concerns as probably the only one up here who has some commercial leasing experience. And there were some things that were pointed out that we should probably address. So what I was going to propose tonight on new business is that since council can hire an attorney for a very specific reason, that we appropriate approximately $1,500 or no more than, and hire a commercial real estate attorney, preferably someone with municipal law experience as well. And let's just review this over the next 2 weeks, and this is second reading tonight, and then we would pass it then in third reading next time. Because there were a few concerns, the dollar amount, $700,000, I really think we should review it thoroughly and have somebody do that for the council, for the city, to protect our interests. There's a little bit of language in there that we just need to clean up and make sure that we're protecting the city's interests.
Madam.
Wait. Are you finished?
Yeah.
So, Councilman Phoebe, Mr. Shields' attorneys have reviewed this document.
Right.
And they've accepted the contract. Correct?
Yes.
Ray?
Well, they have, yes, but we haven't.
Every change the council has presented to them, he has agreed 100%.
Up to this point.
Everything you've asked for up to this point. Now you're coming up this brand new, but everything up to this point that as a body and individually suggests that he has agreed to.
Up to this point, right. What I'm saying is that we have a real estate attorney on the city's behalf review this for several issues that I've reviewed, that, and also on my own, I had a commercial real estate attorney look at and said, yeah, there's a few things in here. We should clean that up before we move forward with it. So I'm all on board with doing this, but let's do it prudently. Let's do it right. And 2 weeks, we'll get it right.
Vice President Plesnik.
Thank you, Madam President. I do want to share with the public that we're very grateful to J. Scott Shiel, the owner of the Shops at Willoughby Hills. Repeat after me, Shops at Willoughby Hills. Hopefully we'll be calling it by its true name going forward as we see new businesses return to the plaza, as well as our former Council President, Ray Samich, who's been very, very closely working with J. Scott Shiel and his attorneys to try to economically develop the plaza. And we brought all the concerns that Council had from various committee meetings and Council meetings. And I was really impressed that Mr. Shiel and Mr. Samich both were ready to work with the city on every concern that we had. I did my best to add all the changes that the various council people had suggested at our meetings, and Mr. Shiel universally accepted each one. He didn't push back. We even had to add one last-minute change because there was a confidentiality provision saying we can't disclose the contract. Well, as a public body, we can't even attach it to an ordinance to adopt it with a confidentiality provision, because each and every one of you have a right to review every contract to which the city is a party. They didn't even blink. You know, they said, we understand. We want to work with you. No contract is perfect. I will say I have owned a rental business myself. I drafted my own leases for that business. I don't pretend to be the city's attorney, but I do think that I have a good eye for reviewing a contract like this. I know that Councilwoman Pigemeau is also a lawyer herself, and she carefully looked at the contract. And frankly, I do have a lot of trust in the good faith partnership that Mr. Shiel has offered the city. We have our former council president working with us as well. I know that he would not recommend this if he did not believe it was in the city's best interest. And we've heard from our police chief as well about how important this is to do. I'm concerned about the exigency. I agree that you can always improve a contract. We could take a year, we could take a decade, and we could make it a little bit tighter and a little bit better. But the reality is there are businesses right now that are deciding whether or not to move into Willoughby Hills. There are businesses right now that are deciding whether or not to renew their leases. So while I certainly respect Mr. Fiebig's concern and his desire for caution, I truly believe from meeting with Mr. Shiel that he is a good faith partner with the city. This only goes forward and continues, given that there are many options in the contract for the city to actually end the lease prematurely. So if we found out that there was some horrible hole in the contract, we could back out of it pretty quickly. And I think that Mr. Shiel would say, if we found a problem with the contract, let's go ahead and amend it. But the important thing is that we show our commitment to this project and that we move forward so that the businesses who are making their decision right now, is Willoughby Hills the right place, I want them to say yes. And I can tell you, I do all my shopping in the Shops at Willoughby Hills. Sometimes I walk there, and I'm saddened when I see a business move out. I'm saddened when I see my neighborhood lose its economic vibrancy. And we have a real opportunity with someone who lives just one city over, who views this as his home, to work with him and develop it. This is something where everyone agrees. I can tell you the very first thing that I asked Mayor Wager when he handed us back the keys to City Hall was, do you still support the substation? Because this is so important. It was more important to talk about than the controversies that our city is going through. This is the business of the people, and even the mayor and I agree. And I'd say that's about the rarest thing you will ever see. The mayor and I agree this substation needs to go forward now. So I don't want to disrespect Mr. Fiebig's concerns, but I think that the contract is ready, and I think we stand to lose a lot more than $1,500 in legal fees if we don't show our commitment right now to moving forward and developing the plaza. And I'll just close by saying I'm the council person who lives closest to Lohmann's, the Shops at Willoughby Hills. Even I'm doing it, the Shops at Willoughby Hills. And I want to see that plaza full. And for our former council president, Ray Samich, our district councilwoman, Janet Mica, who live almost as close, they can walk there too. It's time to move forward. Thank you.
May I?
Yes.
I agree that, yeah, no lease is perfect or no contract is perfect, and I do have good faith that we could do this. And if it's the council's wishes to move ahead, I don't think we have, something that's going to put the project on hold if we were to wait for a review. But again, this is a body, and no, my concerns were not given to you in your review. So when you said we gave the review or the city reviewed this, that's not accurate. So in the last 2 weeks, knowing that this was on second reading, that's why I went ahead to fully review it and even on my own seek out a, you know, an attorney with experience with this type of thing. It's my hope that if I would make that motion to do that review, would that motion pass to, you know, direct the – and by the way, I spoke with the mayor last night who said, yes, he would be on board with having a real estate attorney review this, and then we'd pass it in 2 weeks. So what I could do is make a motion to have council appropriate funds for a legal review, and we can see if that motion passes. Would that be an appropriate way to move forward, Madam President?
There's a motion from Councilman Fiebig on the floor for council to appropriate funds for legal review of the substation, police substation contract.
Do I have a second?
Motion fails for no second.
Okay.
A couple other things on unfinished business. Does anybody else have unfinished business they want to touch base on?
Madam President, I know this could wait till discussion during the passing of the ordinance, but just since we're on the topic, I just agree wholeheartedly. I'm 100% in with the substation. As the individual said tonight, it's been a lot of years of discussion, a lot of waiting. There's already been some substantial delays. I'm sure Mr. Samich could speak to the timeline of just over the summer, how long they've been waiting. There was a little miscommunication as to whether we were ready, whether they were ready. Now we're finally on the same page, and I really do not want to risk delaying to the point where we're going to lose a business or any interest at all from a business. You would have to have been here in the city a lot of years and living in the West Side to know what's been happening there and how much we've lost there, and the excitement and the optimism that we finally can see something happening up at that corner. I don't want to risk losing it. I'm satisfied that things have been looked over by the owner of the shops of Willoughby Hills to his satisfaction, by his lawyer. That's good enough for me. To me, to wait longer would just be unnecessary. Thank you.
Thanks, Councilwoman Micah. I was just going over the notes from some of the people for public portion, and Linda, over to your point, the reallocation of funds for more firefighters, more policemen, and roads to be paved this year resulted in some of the elimination of full-time and part-time positions, but that is still in litigation. And the community center, we have a community center recreation coordinator that is employed. She has been there 3 weeks now. I think Judy Kincaid is her name.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The other part of unfinished business is the whisper report that we have on our agenda.
All right, Madam President, you see on the agenda, we have the whisper report here, and I will just go right in and read it, and it'll explain itself, I think, because it references why it happened and all that stuff. So on February 8th, 2018, Council passed Ordinance 2018-11 suspending the Willoughby Hills Isolated Senior Program for Everyday Relief, or WISPR Fund, pending an investigation of the program. Here are the results of that investigation, which have been reported to the Bureau of Criminal Investigation, State Auditor's Office, and Lake County Job and Family Services on the recommendation of the County Prosecutor, Charles Colson. Key facts. The mayor's administrative assistant, Gloria Majeski, and Councilman Chris Hallam, among others affiliated with the city of Willoughby Hills, appear to have personally profited from their involvement in Whisper. Gloria Majeski appears to have had a history of profiting from her relationship with isolated seniors before establishing the program. Gloria Majeski, in founding the program and becoming sole administrator of it, gave herself unfettered access to a highly vulnerable population, including multiple seniors' bank accounts. Gloria Majeski appears to have facilitated a Whisper participant's divorce using attorneys affiliated with the city and then became the man's legal guardian. She also may be a beneficiary in his or other participants' wills and estates. Gloria Majeski has received multiple cash payments from the Whisper Fund. Gloria Majeski received at least $24,000 in cash reimbursements from the city that have yet to be substantiated. Chris Hallam appears to have a history of acting as a real estate agent for sales of property through Whisper or other matters in which the city is involved. Mayor and Safety Director Robert Wager appears to have failed to oversee Majeski, Hallam, et al., and afforded these and other employees and officials the opportunity to take advantage of this vulnerable population for their personal benefit. Mayor Wager attempted to remove council members from office, citing their vote to pass Ordinance 2018-11, which suspended the Whisper Fund. Wager's actions appear to be retaliatory, motivated by his desire to shield Whisper from scrutiny and to retaliate against the council members who questioned this program and threatened to uncover these apparent abuses of power. In line with the recommendation of County Prosecutor Charles Colson, this report has been referred to several law enforcement and government oversight agencies for further investigation. Recommendations. Because of the appearance of impropriety and possible criminal activity on the part of city employees and officials related to the Whisper program, it is recommended that the entire Whisper program remain suspended in the interest of protecting seniors in Willoughby Hills. It is recommended that the city, including all current and former employees and officials, cooperate with law enforcement and government oversight agencies for further investigation of Whisper. Anyone with information about possible improprieties related to Whisper or any matter of suspected elder abuse should call the Willoughby Hills Police Department at 440-942-9111. Findings of fact. In 2009, Mayor Wager and his executive assistant, Gloria Majeski, established Whisper, the Willoughby Hills Isolated Senior Program for Everyday Relief. It was purportedly inspired by the city's fire department's discovery of an elderly resident who was living alone in a house with no working plumbing and in need of other major repairs. To address this man's predicament, the United Way sponsored a Day of Caring, where volunteers made the necessary improvements to his home. Exhibit A. Wager and Majeski announced that the Whisper program would extend these types of services to all seniors in need through an all-volunteer workforce and with all materials or expenses funded solely through donations. Majeski reported she was the program administrator. Exhibit B. Also in 2009, the City Council passed an ordinance establishing a Whisper Fund. It's Ordinance 2009-10. Until 2018, no other legislation establishing, defining, limiting, or otherwise regulating Whisper was introduced. In the city's budget, Whisper expenses were oddly characterized as, quote, capital improvements, Exhibit C. Wager and Majeski actively solicited donations claiming, quote, all contributed funds are to be used to carry out the mission of assisting those in need, Exhibit D. Majeski solicited donations from individuals as well as organizations like the Cleveland Clinic, who sponsored an annual 5K that raised money for Whisper, Exhibit E. Lack of oversight and false claims. Upon a cursory review in 2017, it appeared that neither Wager nor anyone else in his administration established guidelines or rules for the administration of the Whisper program, and there were no mechanisms for accountability or oversight. Further questions were raised when, after the 2017 council elections in which Majeski was an unsuccessful candidate, at least two residents advised council members that they felt they were denied services they were once provided because they did not support Majeski in her bid for a council seat. Finally, it became clear further investigation was warranted when Majeski either failed to adequately answer questions about the program and its administration or reacted disproportionately defensively to simple questions about the program. For instance, at the January 25th, 2018 Finance Committee meeting, a council member asked the finance director for details about an abnormal entry on a recent purchase order report. The entry indicated the city created a purchase order for a payment to local business New Moons Rising Inc. for, quote, Whisper donations for therapeutic SR gardening, Exhibit G. At the meeting, Finance Director Berkachek said he didn't know any details about the payment and suggested the council member contact Majeski, January 25th, 2018 minutes. After the meeting, Berkachek check emailed council a copy of the purchase order. Majeski then sent an email replying to all. Frank, thank you for sending this to council for clarification. I planned to do it first thing this morning, but came into your email. The point I wanted to make was that this was not a donation, but rather payments to provide transportation to many seniors who can take advantage of Noon's rising opportunity for art therapy at a Willoughby Hills business site. Studies show that art therapy is a very helpful in seniors and that it promotes self-expression, facilitates socialization and communication, reduces boredom, improves motor skills, cognitive skills, and intellectual stimulation, as well as decreased stress and depression. I could not imagine that anyone, young or old, would perceive this as an expenditure that would not be worthwhile. Council President Fellows previously requested voucher cards for seniors to provide transportation through Lakeland. I would imagine this could be perceived in the same manner, but enables many more individuals while promoting a Willoughby Hills business site. Exhibit H. Majeski's odd and defensive response, coupled with an expenditure that was not in line with the stated goals of the program, a council member submitted the following records request to Majeski. I'd like all the following documents for Whisper from its inception to the present. Detailed documentation of all services rendered, including name, address, age, date of service, services provided, name of volunteer providing services, expenses paid. All resident applications requesting services. Any documentation related to application approval or denial. Any documents detailing eligibility requirements. Definition of senior. What criteria is assessed when making determination if someone is eligible for services? Is there an appeal process if denied? If so, what is it? Report of all donations or contributions. Name, date, amount. All volunteer applications. All information related to how volunteers are selected and vetted. Exhibit F. Majeski acknowledged receipt of the request the next day but did not submit any documents responded to the request at that time. Council members were concerned enough about the level of access to vulnerable seniors and the lack of oversight that at the February 8, 2018 council meeting, council passed Ordinance 2018-11, which suspended the Whisper Fund pending an investigation. During debate, a council member articulated all the questions that needed to be answered about the Whisper program to ensure the safety of the city seniors and that the city itself was protected from excessive liability risk. I want to know exactly what services are offered. Who is eligible for the services? What is a senior for the purposes of the program? Is it for all seniors? Is it only for isolated seniors? What does isolated mean? And if so, which seniors get the program? How do you determine eligibility? Who decides who is eligible? What if a resident disputes a denial of service? Is there an appeal procedure? How is the program monitored? Are there performance standards for the program, for administrators, for volunteers? What records are kept? Are the people administering the program qualified to identify and address the needs of isolated seniors? What are the necessary qualifications under the program rules? What are the best practices that other governmental programs for seniors use? Are there procedures to elevate cases that necessitate fast intervention? And it goes on. 2018-11 and February 8, 2018 minutes. Majeski's response to the passage of Ordinance 2018-11 was an email to the Mayor and Council. With last night's passage of Ordinance 2018-11, please be advised that I have suspended all tasks performed by the Whisper program until further notice. Automatic funding that we had anticipated as well, bequeaths and 5K donations, will be suggested to be redirected as well until legislation is passed to take the program off, quote, hold. I would suggest that wedding donations and Abitibi funds that normally go directly into that fund be reconsidered for reallocation to make the funds more readily available if the account is tied up for any length of time for the council inquisition. Let me know how you want to proceed on that. Exhibit I. On February 14, 2018, Majeski supplied her first substantive response to the council records request with one document, the expense and revenue reports for Whisper. The report did little to assuage the concerns of council members, February 22, 2018 minutes. It took 8 weeks from the original request for Majeski to supply more documents. In total, Majeski's responses to the initial public records request were, at best, evidence of severely inadequate record-keeping. Exhibit F. However, it appears records were either withheld or improperly destroyed. In May of 2017, Majeski accidentally attached a Whisper application to another document she gave to the council clerk. She also accidentally gave the clerk a volunteer hour form in which Majeski documented time she spent on Whisper. Exhibit HH. Majeski was paid by the city for her time doing Whisper activities. Exhibit B. Neither of these documents was provided to council in response to the January 2018 records request. A resident requested Whisper records several years ago. Majeski charged her 25 cents per sheet and printed out each and every Whisper, quote, deed in large print on one piece of paper and what appears to be for the purpose of running up the bill. Exhibit II. This resident submitted the records records provided to her by Majeski to counsel in the summer of 2018. Majeski did not provide any of these documents in response to the January 2018 records request. The quote deeds reported in these records are also indicate that Majeski had access to several seniors' bank accounts and other sensitive information that are cause for concern for the safety and well-being of the city's seniors, as well as for the risk of liability to the city itself. Some of the documents that Majeski submitted to counsel in response to the January 2018 records request contradict Majeski's claims about the program. For instance, the schedule of WSBR revenue that Majeski provided on February 14, 2018 showed that the program was not exclusively funded by donations, as she and Wager often boasted, but that city funds were indeed used for the program, Exhibit J. Additionally, rather than an all-volunteer workforce, many local contractors were paid from the fund to perform tasks that appeared to be favors for chosen residents, like cosmetic enhancements to homes, computer repairs, moving expenses, rather than, quote, everyday relief tasks meant to keep isolated seniors able to live independently at home, Exhibit K and Exhibit L. Moreover, a large proportion of payments out of the WSBR fund were payable directly to Majeski herself, Exhibit K. According to one employee with knowledge, Majeski and Wager ordered city employees to do favors for senior residents while on the clock for the city, like removing old appliances or electronics from seniors' homes and taking them to the dump. Questionable activities putting seniors at risk. While Majeski did not submit them in response to the records request, she uploaded annual, quote, deed reports to the city's website. A review of these reports also indicate that Majeski had access to some seniors' residents' bank accounts, among other things that were of concern. Majeski self-reported numerous concerning entries about helping residents with vague, quote, legal issues, as well as things like will preparation, car rides to appointments, and help with voting. In Majeski's 2012 WSBR deeds report, she said, quote, paperwork was filed for an 80-year-old woman to, quote, receive her railroad pension. In a 2012 Plain Dealer article, Majeski is reported to claim to have helped an elderly woman with her finances who was unaware she was eligible for Social Security and then experienced a windfall when Majeski found 30 years of uncashed paychecks from the woman's career working on the railroad, Exhibit M and Exhibit L. A city employee with knowledge reported that this woman's name is Senior One and that he or she witnessed Majeski with this woman's checkbook in her office at City Hall. Majeski also reported that Senior One made in-kind contributions of postage stamps and envelopes to her 2017 City Council campaign, Exhibit Q. In 2015, Majeski reported she helped an elderly resident of Trailer Drive displaced from a spring flood. Specifically, she said, quote, we assisted him to file insurance claims, receive assistance from Red Cross, paid for shelter for 1 month while we searched for a new place to live, facilitated his acquisition of used furniture, moved him to his new apartment, assisted with bill pay education and budgeting, and helped him seek legal advice to facilitate the sale of his home, Exhibit L. Looking at sales records, the house at address on Trailer Road belonging to Senior 2 was sold in December of 2015 for $25,000 to 2020 Rehab LLC, Exhibit M. The home and riverfront property at address is valued around $100,000, Exhibit O. 2020 Rehab LLC was formed by J. Scott Barrick, Exhibit P. A search for the real estate listing produced a listing from City Councilman Chris Hallam's real estate agency and says, quote, please contact Willoughby Hills floodplain manager Fred Weiss for details, Exhibit R. Fred Weiss was the city's building inspector, the head of the city's building department at the time of the listing. A photo taken by a resident in July of 2015 shows a for sale sign with Hallam's picture, name, and contact information in the front yard, Exhibit S. The, quote, legal help that WSBR provided may have been Senior 2's divorce. A search of court records shows that between the March 2015 flood and the December 2015 sale of the home, Senior 2's wife filed for divorce. Apparently, the couple had no children, Exhibit T. Senior 2's attorney was the then Willoughby Hills Law Director Tom Loewy's associate, Todd Cipollo, who was also at that time working as the city's mayor's court prosecutor and occasionally filled in for Loewy at council meetings. Senior 2's wife's attorney was Stephanie Landgraf, who was one of six attorneys working for the Willoughby firm Wiles & Richards. Another one of the six Wiles & Richards attorneys is Willoughby Hills City Prosecutor Michael Germano, Exhibit U. Senior 2's divorce was granted in May of 2016, less than 5 months before Senior 2's wife died in hospice care, Exhibit V. 10 months later, in August 2017, Majeski petitioned the Lake County Probate Court to become Senior 2's legal guardian, citing incompetency, Exhibit W. The city of Willoughby Hills paid for the background check she submitted to the probate court, Exhibit X. Majeski was granted the guardianship, including access to Senior 2's finances, Exhibit W. It appears from the docket that Majeski was compensated by Senior 2's estate, so it is possible that Majeski was paid by both Senior 2's estate and the city for the same hours. on February 22, 2018, Ordinance 2018-10, an ordinance hiring a forensic auditor to review the excessive reimbursements to Majeski, among other matters, went into law. On the very next day, February 23, 2018, Majeski petitioned the Lake County Probate Court to transition Senior 2's guardianship to another person, Exhibit W. According to one law enforcement source, while Majeski relinquished guardianship of Senior 2, she may still be a beneficiary or executor of his will. Wager oversaw the use of city funds to purchase the home of a deceased Whisper recipient. In 2011, Majeski reported Whisper's crowning achievement for the year was helping an elderly woman with a, quote, major cleanup of her home and to have items transported to the church to be donated or to trash. Exhibit L. A resident named Senior 5, who lived at address, passed away in December of 2010. In November of 2011, the city purchased the Senior 5 property for $80,000 via Ordinance 2011-58. Concerning patterns, another concerning aspect to Whisper relates to a pattern in which Majeski personally and financially benefits from her relationship with unrelated isolated seniors like Senior 2 who have no surviving children. In May of 2007, Senior 3, aged 86, designated his neighbor Majeski as the trustee of his Senior 3 trust, Exhibit Y. In March of 2008, Senior 3 died and Majeski inherited his home, Exhibit Z. In November of 2007, Senior 4 of Euclid, Ohio, then 85, designated Majeski as the executor of her will, Exhibit AA. Senior 4 is Majeski's husband's aunt and had no surviving children of her own. Senior 4 died at the age of 93 in a nursing home in Metro, Ohio, where she was being treated for Alzheimer's disease, Exhibit BB. The only asset that went through probate was an annuity, and Majeski was the beneficiary. The amount of the annuity was $33,260.77 payable over 5 years, or $6,652 a year for 5 years, Exhibit CC. Beginning in 2016, Majeski's sister-in-law, Joanne Majeski, whose husband is Gloria Majeski's brother, announced that a trust called the Senior 4 Family Charitable Remainder Unit Trust was donating $2,500 to Whisper and $2,500 to Willoughby Hills Cornfest, Inc., a corporation solely owned by Gloria Majeski and not affiliated with the city of Willoughby Hills, December 8, 2016 minutes. Joanne Majeski claimed that Senior 4 personally loved Whisper and the Willoughby Hills Corn Fest. In 2017, just 3 weeks before the city council elections in which Gloria Majeski was running for an at-large seat, Joanne Majeski once again came to a council meeting to declare this gift to Whisper and Corn Fest, October 12, 2017 minutes. On September 27, 2018, Joanne Majeski once again came to a council meeting to discuss the bequest, but claimed the amount was between $2,500 and $3,100 and claimed the city might not be entitled to the funds because the city suspended the Whisper program. No mention was made of the Cornfest bequest at the September 27, 2018 meeting. Hallam also has a history of appearing to personally benefit from his office. In 2015, a wrongful death suit was brought on behalf of the children of a victim of a murder in Willoughby Hills. The plaintiff's attorney included Landgraf and Michael Lucas, a partner at Wiles & Richards, Exhibit U. The plaintiff's attorney's motion to appoint Hallam as real estate receiver for the family's home, Exhibit JJ. While this tragic situation is not related to Whisper, in conjunction with the Senior 2 case, this creates the appearance of concerning pattern wherein Hallam personally profits from his office. Questionable financial practices. Besides potential improprieties related to her access to the city's vulnerable senior population, Majeski also used Whisper for questionable financial activities. Since the beginning of her tenure as an employee of the city of Willoughby Hills in 2008, the city has paid Gloria Majeski almost $24,000 in cash reimbursements from the Whisper and other city funds, allegedly for expenditures she personally made on behalf of the city, Exhibit DD. The city's finance director, Frank Berkachek, and Mayor Wager have allowed these cash payments of city funds to Majeski, despite Section 115.05 of the city's administrative code, which designates the purchasing policy of the city, which is limited to city credit cards, which are available. Furthermore, when the council clerk submitted a resident's records request to Berkachek asking for the receipts or other records substantiating these reimbursements on September 22, 2017, Berkachek failed to comply with the records request. On October 3, 2017, Berkachek submitted a schedule of reimbursement payments the city made to Majeski and said that about the supplying the substantiating documentation for these reimbursements, quote, as the list is made up of approximately 170 checks, many of which are stored in dead storage and will have to be retrieved, it will take quite a while to assemble the records that you are requesting without it taking a considerable amount of time and incurring significant overtime expense. If possible, I would hope to avoid that. On October 5th, 2017, the council clerk reiterated the requester wanted the supporting documentation. There's no response from Berkotek to this email, and the council clerk followed up on January 29th, 2018, and stated that the resident requester was waiting and that council members also wanted to review the documents. There was no response to this email, so the clerk once again emailed Berkotek about the records request on March 12th, 2018. Finally, on March 13, 2018, Berkotek responded. I was just going to update you on this. We just finished pulling all the records that were requested. It amounts to about a one-foot stack. I estimate that it is about 2,000 pages of copying, which at 5 cents per page will be $100 per request. Since we are not asked to do the records pulling or copying on overtime, Sharon will be doing the copying in between her other duties. By the way, do you know who the requester is? And if you do, who is it? The clerk responded on March 14, 2018, that the requester wanted the documents in electronic format and wished to remain anonymous as is allowed by Ohio law. Berkotek responded, the charge will still be approximately $100 plus $1 for each disk produced. In order for us to transfer the information to a disk, each record must first be copied, then a PDF file will have to be created, and the PDF file will have to be transferred to a disk. This will be very time-consuming for us as the ORC allows the city to charge the cost of copying the record in the format being requested. This would include the interim step necessary to create the disk. Please provide me with the requester's contact information so that I can notify them when the copies are available for pickup and what the final cost will be. As of October 2018, Berkotek has not made the, quote, one-foot stack of records available for inspection or provided the disk to the anonymous requester as required under the law. The first request for these records was submitted in September of 2017, and as of October 2018, no records have been provided, Exhibit EE. Viewed in the best possible light, even if these reimbursements can be substantiated, if it is this difficult for the finance department to demonstrate they can be substantiated, then the competency of the finance department is questionable. At a minimum, these facts further indicate that the city's system of accountability and transparency are severely inadequate, and the city is being put at substantial risk of liability. Knowledge of wrongdoing and retaliation. On December 19, 2017, Council passed an ordinance authorizing the acting law director to investigate potential Ohio ethics law violations of certain employees and officials and to file complaints as warranted, 2017-64. On January 5, 2018, an attorney who specializes in public corruption defense sent Council an email demanding the city pay for Majeski's defense and indemnify her, Exhibit FF. On October 3, 2018, Mayor Wager illegally attempted to remove 6 of 7 council members. The only one he did not attempt to remove was Hallam. Wager cited several baseless grounds, including Council's passage of Ordinance 2018-11, which suspended the Whisper Fund. Next steps. These findings have been submitted to law enforcement agencies, including but not limited to the County Prosecutor's Office. Upon review, County Prosecutor Charles Colson recommended the Whisper program be thoroughly investigated, referring the matter to the Bureau of Criminal Investigations, State Auditor's Office, and Lake County Job and Family Services, Exhibit GG. I just want to add that I do think that the idea for this program is a good one. I think that maybe in the beginning it was intended to be a good program. I think that there, from my research, it looked like it was much more well-run in the beginning. There were a lot of volunteer organizations being utilized. There did seem to be more records being kept. It did seem to be a little more organized. But I don't know what happened over time. Something happened over time where things just got a little loosey-goosey here, and where we are right now. And I also want to add that a lot of good things have been done. I know it's helped a lot of people, and I think that part of it is great. I mean, sometimes there are good things about something, but also bad. And the fact that, at a minimum, the fact that it could look this bad, there's no accountability metrics, there's no guidelines or standards such that we can go to this point. I think that is the problem in and of itself. The city shouldn't be having one person do whatever they want in administering a program.
Thank you, Councilwoman Pismo. We're taking the time to read that so there would be clarity and understanding to it.
Madam President, I want to start by thanking Councilwoman Pismo for doing a great deal of the research necessary to create the Whisper Report. You have to ask yourself, why would Councilwoman Pismo give up so much of her time and her effort and her talent to serve her city when you're the bearer of bad news? Why the council members, like Mr. Feebig, Ms. Micah, would vote to suspend a program that did do a lot of good things and certainly would result in some pushback. Ronald Reagan asked the same question. On the 40th anniversary of D-Day, when he said, why would so many young men go to a beach where they knew the odds were they were going to die? The reality is, sometimes you have to do the right thing. It was never going to be easy to ask these types of questions. It's not easy to ask them now. But I have to agree with our county prosecutor, Charles Colson. At a minimum, this had to be referred to the state auditor's office, the Bureau of Criminal Investigation, and Lake County Job and Family Services. It's not my job or anyone's job on council to determine guilt or innocence. We're not prosecutors. We don't put people in jail. It's our job to run city programs in a way where they're accountable to you, where the information is publicly available per the Sunshine Laws, where no one, no city employee, no city official personally benefits from those programs. And when it reaches the point where your county prosecutor says this needs to be referred for criminal investigation, it's well past the point that a city program should be run. This was a failure. I recognize and I thank those who worked hard to do the good deeds that were accomplished through Whisper, but I can tell you I was personally contacted by some of the residents who told me that they received services from Whisper for years, but when they refused to support the administrator of the program and her run for council, they were turned down. That alone is unacceptable. You are entitled to support or campaign against anyone who sits at this dais or works in City Hall or across the street. It's your right. You can love, hate, support, campaign against any one of us, but you're still a resident and you have exactly the same rights under a city program. And the fact that I had people come to me and say that they were denied access to this program because their political beliefs didn't accord with the administrators in the city, that's absolutely wrong. That's unforgivable. I know these people. They're honest. They're good. They're true. Some of them even work for the city themselves. But that's not the worst of it. The fact that we honestly can't tell you right here and now, was every payment from this program substantiated and legal? Did anyone personally profit from it? The fact that that suspicion is raised and we can't give a direct answer because we don't have a full criminal investigation done yet? The fact that a criminal investigation is recommended by the prosecutor? That's bad enough. City programs should be held to the highest standard. You pay for each and every program, position, and salary. You're the boss, and you deserve to have your public records requests answered. You deserve to have programs that are held to the highest standard. This is not a criticism of any individual person, but it's a failure of a program. And I want to commend Councilwoman Laura Pigemot for her hard work on something that will never get her thanks. The bearer of bad news, the whistleblower, is never thanked. Except maybe by one person, by me. This will be the one exception. I want to thank the council people who were brave enough to ask the questions and to vote to suspend the program, because that was hard. They were literally fired by the mayor, quote-unquote fired by the mayor, because they were bold enough to ask some questions. I think it's fair to say that for the mayor to try to fire council because they voted to suspend a program pending an investigation, and now the county prosecutor agrees with counsel and says, at a minimum, the state auditor's office, the attorney general's Bureau of Criminal Investigation, and Lake County Job and Family Services needs to research it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a question of should someone go to jail. You tried to fire counsel. Now do you want to fire the county prosecutor too? Do you want to fire the state auditor's office? Because you have just as much authority to fire them as you do counsel, as in none. And you have no right to make the statement that it's malfeasance to ask questions. That's the only reason you elect council people. We're here to ask the questions for you, to represent you, to make sure there's oversight of government programs. And thank God for the people on council who cared more about our seniors than their own jobs. I don't care if the mayor tries to fire me. I'm going to protect my neighbors. I'm going to protect the seniors that I live with and care about. I'm not here to criticize someone else. I'm here to say that our residents do have to come first. And I am so grateful to the council members who are brave enough to stand up for those seniors, even though they'll never get a thank you. They'll never get a 9% raise or a bonus. But they did the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay. Legislation. The first one is Ordinance 2018-43. Vicki, please read the caption.
An ordinance authorizing the expenditure of the engineering fees and construction costs associated with the Stratford Pump Station project and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Plesnik.
I would make a motion to adopt Ordinance Number 2018-43.
Second. I have a motion from Vice President Plesnik and a second from Councilwoman
Mica.
It was both of us.
Mica.
Oh, Mica.
Beat you.
Councilwoman Mica.
You got me.
To adopt Ordinance 2018-43, is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I would just share we heard from our city engineer tonight that this is the city's responsibility, that it's in the best interest of our community at Stratford Place, that he believes it will ameliorate their flooding problems in that community, and that's why I support this legislation.
Vicki?
Hallam.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Mica.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plesnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Hebig.
Yes.
Ordinance 2018-43 has been adopted. The next one is Ordinance 2018-44.
An ordinance authorizing and direct the mayor to enter into an agreement between the City of Willoughby Hills, Ohio, and Richard L. Bowen and Associates, Inc. for the city engineering services and repealing conflicting legislation.
Madam President.
Vice President.
This legislation is on third reading. I would make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2018-44. We're very grateful to our city engineer and his entire firm for their hard work on our behalf. I think that they've served us very well in many capacities. And our residents have, by and large, come to know Peter as a friend. So we want to keep you here. So I make a motion to adopt Ordinance Number 2018-44.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Plesnik and a second from Councilman Fiebig to adopt Ordinance 2018-44. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Vicki.
Hallam.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Mica.
Yes.
Pismo.
Yes.
Plesnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Ordinance 2018-44 has been adopted. The next is Ordinance Number 2018-46.
An ordinance authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into an agreement for the leasing of property located at 27701 Chardon Road, Unit 13, Willoughby Hills, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Madam President.
Vice President Plesnik.
I would make a motion to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance Number 2018-46.
Second. I have a motion from Vice President Plesnik and a second from Councilwoman Mica to waive the three reading rule on Ordinance 2018-46. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I would just repeat what our former Council President Ray Samet shared with us today, that there are many good businesses that are looking to come into the shops at Willoughby Hills. And we don't want to lose that window of opportunity. I recognize that this is a big step for the city, but I think it's the right step. And I think that we have to move now if we're going to be able to bring those businesses to Willoughby Hills and keep the businesses that we already have, which is why I think this is exigent enough to move forward. I also believe that we've discussed this many more than three meetings, even though this is technically only on second reading. The concept of a substation has been discussed for many years. Our chief has told us he supported it his entire 18-year tenure. I know that I have discussed the possibility since PNC Bank proposed it, and I think that our residents have had sufficient time to weigh in as well. So that's why I support waiving the three reading rule to give council an opportunity to consider this tonight.
Any other discussion on the motion to waive?
Madam President, I'll just weigh in, and not to beat the dead horse, because I think it is dead, regarding waiving this, but I will vote no on this just because I do have concerns, and you should vote your conscience all the time. I did have the opportunity to finally review the changes that you made and had some concerns. I don't believe the concerns would be raising to the point where I will not support this, because we are all in support, I believe, of this concept. But as As we know, the four corners of a contract are where the rubber meets the road, and to not have this reviewed by a city law director, by a real estate attorney working on behalf of the city, I think is not the best path forward. So I'll vote no on waiving this because I wanted two more weeks.
Vicki?
Hollum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Hismo.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
No.
The three-reading rule on Ordinance 2018-46 has been waived.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnick.
Motion to adopt Ordinance Number 2018-46.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnick and a second from Councilwoman Micah to adopt Ordinance 2018-46. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Madam President, I would just want to say we thank Mr. J. Scott Scheel for his investment in our community. We're excited to see the new businesses come to the shops at Willoughby Hills. We thank our former Council President, Ray Somich, who's still our neighbor on the west side, for the work that he will continue to do with the city to make sure that that plaza flourishes. And we most of all thank our police department because I know that they will dedicate themselves, they will redouble their efforts to the west side of Willoughby Hills as a new partner in that plaza to make sure that our businesses, our residents, and our many new customers and jobs are safe.
Madam President, and I, to dovetail on that, I agree with that this will be a positive development, working directly with the owner of that plaza, with Mr. Somich, with the mayor, with the police chief. I believe we've come to a very unique opportunity here in the city. We do have the option to get out of this lease and to get out of this arrangement within the first 2 years. So we certainly do welcome feedback from the community as we move forward. Is it a positive development? For example, there was some graffiti that was populated throughout that area. This is a good example of, would a police presence down there have stopped that unnecessary vandalism on not only the businesses there, but the apartment buildings across the street? So this is the kind of thing we're looking for. I know you can't use a metric to say, has crime gone down? Have these events not occurred? But I think feedback from the community, since we are employing some of our city resources down there, not a lot, but some, so we need to get feedback from the community down there to make sure that this is going to be an effective use of the city's resources. But I'm in favor of this and have been all along, so looking forward to that next step. I'll be voting yes.
Vicki.
Hollum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Hismo.
Yes.
Fleshnick.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Ordinance 2018-46 has been adopted. All right. The next one is Ordinance 2018-47.
An ordinance to employ the services of Gregory Beck and Baker, Dublicar, Beck, Wiley, and Matthews to represent the City of Willoughby Hills in the complaint filed in Wager versus City of Willoughby Hills, Lake County, Common Pleas Court, case number 18CV000964, and in City of Willoughby Hills versus Wager, Lake County Common Pleas Court, temporary restraining order, complaint, and mayor's illegal attempt to remove elected officials, repealing conflicting legislation, and declaring an emergency.
And this is on second reading.
Madam President.
This can stay on second reading.
The question was regarding waiving this. Is there an urgency based
no,
on the...
I've spoken to Mr. Beck. There is no urgency.
Date and there is no... There's, so we have a date set for... What is it? November.
This has to do with payment, and he has been paid most of this. It's just that the ordinance was at a dollar value, and we just put it now as an hourly rate. So Mr. Beck has been paid what, Frank? Like
$10,000.
There's like $700 left or something.
No money left on
that. And now this one.
There's
Mr. Beck said that there is no urgency on this, and we can do three readings.
Thank you.
Next is Ordinance 2018-48.
An ordinance authorizing and direct the mayor to accept the proposal submitted by Richard L. Bowen and Associates, Inc., providing zoning administration services for the city of Wilby Hills, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
And, Pete, this was given to us in plenty of good time, and so this, these are 6 months blocks, correct? So this will stay on second reading, and in 2 weeks we'll adopt it. Any new business for this evening? For the good of the order or the community?
Madam President?
Yes.
I would just like to say, I know it's a certain someone's birthday. Happy birthday, Mike Pijmo. He may not be as famous as Councilwoman Laura Pijmo or even Father Pijmo, but we love him. He's a resident, and happy birthday, Mike.
I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman Phoebe and a second from Vice President Plushnik to adjourn the meeting. There's no discussion on that motion. Vicki, please call the roll.
Hellum.
Yes.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Pijmo.
Yes.
Plushnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Phoebe.
Yes.
Meeting's been adjourned at 8:40 p.m. Thank you, everybody.